Perhaps this scientific method could be extended to other fields of learning. Perhaps I could lead the way to a new age. An age of rebirth. A renaissance. Nah.
Hello, my name is Nick Ebden, and you are listening to the Hypnosis Discussion Network podcast. Thanks for joining us again on Hypnosis Discussion Network podcast. Bit of a mouthful there. Our guest this week is none other than Tracy Grist or Grist?
Grist.
I'm doing it on purpose now. Tracy Grist. Tracy is the chairman of the NCH, which is the National Council for Hypnotherapy. I believe it is, perhaps the biggest professional association for hypnosis?
But probably one of the biggest not-for-profits.
Well, we'll get to that anyway. So one of the biggest, if not the biggest. Tracy is also a busy practicing therapist herself from Balham, which, if any of you don't know, that's the shit part of South London. you're welcome. And she's also, other than a trained hypnotherapist, you're a trained counsellor, and you run a fairly, in terms of a professional hypnotist, a busy practice.
Probably.
So welcome, Tracy.
Thank you.
Let's pretend this isn't the fourth time we've tried to do this.
Hi, Nick. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, how are you? Well, you look just like I imagined you'd look. Right, so good to have you back again.
Thank you.
This is our last chance to record this.
Fourth.
So there's rules, right? There's no digression. There's no overrunning by an hour and a half. We're just going to get straight in.
Okay, right. Off you go.
Bish, bash, bosh. Right, so basically, as the chairman of the National Council for Hypnotherapy, it would be remiss not to talk about the National Council for Hypnotherapy. So if we could start off, obviously we're going to talk about gripes and hopefully influences and what makes a good a good therapist and a bad therapist. But if you could tell us bit about the National Council for Hypnotherapy when you're ready.
In my own time. What do you want to know? We're
you had a long week.
It has been a long
staring blankly at me. Sorry, go on.
There was obviously mental interference. We're a not-for-profit organisation to support our hypnotherapists to provide a platform for good ethics. Mm-hmm. We've got CECP, the Code of Ethics and Practice. So, we offer a safe space for hypnotherapists to practice from.
All members.
Yeah.
And what does it involve to be a member of the NCH?
That you're suitably trained. The criteria is on the website. So if you've met the NOS, National Occupation Standards, training hours for being face-to-face and all of that stuff, that you meet the level 4 criteria, you can join us.
It's about 450 hours, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
Is that
right? I don't know off the top of my head. I think it's 100...
It's got a four handle, isn't it? Classroom hours and then...
It's 100 and something hours face-to-face and... 450 hours individual learning.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. But like I say, it's all on the website, which we're gonna which we're gonna share on the blog, the podcast, even not the blog. We haven't got a blog.
Whatever you want to call it.
Right. And basically, so the quality of the training is National Occupational Standards, but you need to have the HPD, right?
You don't need to have the HPD, so you can join. If you've met the training criteria, you can join. It's just a bigger membership fee. But if you have the HPD, then you can join with a lower membership fee. Plus, if you don't have the HPD and you want to actually qualify, in the reason that we have the NCH HPD is because it's externally verified. So it gives you points to, if you want to study at university level, it says that you've met the training criteria. So
right. It used to be the NCFE, right? Is it still?
Yeah.
Was it level 4, Five, four,
Level four through the
level
NCT.
four.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So it does form as a foundational points for
Yeah.
other training. Okay. And so people can either have a standard recognized by the National Occupational Standards. They can then use perhaps another association to become a member of the CNHC. By membership of CNHC, they can then become a member of the NCH. Is that
Oh,
right?
no. So the NCH currently are a verifying organisation for the CNHC. So if somebody wants to join us and they meet our criteria for joining, therefore they will meet the CNHC's criteria for joining. So we're a lowly professional association, and the CNHC are a register for complementary. So it in theory it's the other way around. We're lowly.
Right, so you moderate the quality of the training, and then people can
Absolutely.
become members of CNHC. But can members of the CHC on the CNHC register become a become a member of your association?
Well, if they're trained in
If they're
hypnotherapy,
trained.
yeah, we
Right,
would
but it
say
doesn't have to be an NCH training.
no. No, it can be any training that meets the criteria. With our NCH schools, we know that they're teaching to that level. So the students that go and see our NCH schools, we know that they're already meeting the training hours. So when they join us, it's a tick box exercise because with the schools. And so that similar behavior is echoed between us and the CNHC. But if you're trained outside, then our admin officers, our training officer looks at the criteria of your training to see if it meets the necessary hours.
Gotcha. Yeah, just to make it clear for anyone listening, I probably didn't explain it very well, but there are more than one, there's more than one avenue into the NCH, right?
Yeah, you can apply on different levels. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Right now, also as well, you obviously work as a directory as well for your members. So people can Google you. They'll then be able to find a therapist or a practitioner near them via the NCH website, I assume, right?
Yeah, we've got a therapist finder. And then, so you can join us, go on the therapist finder, have the support from the board. Depending on, we offer a journal. There's lots of sort of membership benefits around. You get cheaper insurance by being a member with us, all those sort
And
of
then
benefits. Yeah.
also after a certain time, you can become a supervisor as well.
After so many years, you can choose supervision training that some of our schools run.
Supervision training. Is
Yeah,
that your?
become a
All
supervisor.
right. So, and again, there'll be more criteria, there'll be more hours in practice, I imagine. The usual stuff like to get supervision. How many supervisors do you have at the moment? Do you know off the hand?
Oh, about 50.
Yeah, only because I know one of the conversations we've had more than once is about the need for supervision.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that we share a belief in that therapists, if they're not already in therapy, could do with supervision and
Well,
coaching,
I
what you
think,
call it,
yeah,
or.
to enhance reflective practice because of our cognitive biases. So if we are in supervision over a long period of time, our supervisor will get to know what we're about and how we work, and will be able to highlight perhaps where our vulnerabilities are as a practitioner and regulate us almost to a point where, with that enhanced rapport, they just understand us. So they can be like, eh, do you know that it's a little bit like right to do this or wrong to do this? Not necessarily in that black and white way, but it's good to have the support. We deal with a lot of difficult stuff as therapists.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. And sometimes you can find yourself just drifting down a path that you shouldn't be going in.
Yeah.
And that was like you mentioned, the reflective practices.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's something someone should do after every session. But again, at the end of the day as well, if you're working with people.
Well, ideally, that reflection, if you could have it at the end of the session, would be brilliant, but life is a little bit
If they're back to back and what have you, that's why you always do it at the end of the day. Now, going back to the NCH, you're a not-for-profit association. You're an accrediting organisation. Is that the right word? For training, as you say, to not only access for your own membership, but that of the CNHC, because it's the National Occupational Standards, blah, blah, blah. There are other organisations that do a similar thing. I think one of the criticisms of all these organisations is that they're just money-making vehicles, ultimately. Now, I know when people think of the NCH, the other one that they spring to mind is the GHR and the GHSC. All right. What would differentiate you from them, for instance, or other similar organisations?
Well, I think fundamentally, we're not for profit. There's a board that work for the NCH. There's a wide, we've got 15 people on our board, thereabouts. So that's 15. Most people are trained hypnotherapists, so they have an understanding of how the challenges of being a hypnotherapist in practice. So we have that insight. We also are open, so you can go on to HMRC and check out our numbers if you want to. So we don't hide our membership numbers, we don't hide our money numbers, we're open and inclusive. I can't speak for any of the other organisations, but I can wave the flag for the NCH that say, if you've got any questions, just reach out, contact one of us, and we'll.
Well, the fact that you're open and transparent, well, I think probably differentiates you from some. Also, as well, I think speaking from experience of both, that it is there's more stringent criteria to become an NCH accredited school than, let's just say, the other one. The problem is that you and I have discussed before, in a community that is quick fix, quick buck, shortcut to the next certificate and this and the other. The problem is that one becomes more, what's the word, enticing for a new prospective training school or whatever. So I think, how do you put the message across? And I think it is an important message that you need to put across, that the NCH is about the professional ethics, is about standards, maintaining standards, is about being visible where people can come and complain or come and learn or come and look for an accredited therapist of a certain training set. How do you get that message across to people? Because there's a lot of noisy elements in the profession, always shouting you down, right?
Well, I think part of that is that we can only do our own housekeeping. We can only say this is who we are. For us to sit in a position of saying we're better than them doesn't ascribe to our ethics, essentially, and our mode of practice. One of the hardest things probably is that you and I are the other side of training. We know what we have insight into what's good training, what's bad training, all of those things. Whereas somebody who's in a full-time job that's looking to become a second lifer and take on a new discipline and thinks, oh, you know what, I'm a great listener, I should be a hypnotherapist. That person doesn't know to look for the right ethics or the right training school. And that's where, because you don't know what you don't know. We've got that insight this side. So I think our ongoing dilemma is how do you become available to people who don't know what they don't know, rather than within the industry, you and I, we have trained, we have those judgments now. Other people have their own training and their own judgments. And if they choose to be a member of the NCH, that's wonderful for us because we know that criteria have been met. If they choose not to, well, essentially there isn't anything we can do, especially if somebody comes and judges us based on something that they heard 20 years ago or something. We can't really, what's the point,
Yeah.
essentially?
No, yeah,
People
all you can do is be seen to be moving in the right direction. And if Tracy's mentioning that, it's because I've ribbed her in the past, right? About some of ribbed practice to soft word, but about some of the past speakers.
Oh,
But you
yeah.
know what? No, it's not.
You
It's
have
not as
to do it. You
a. No,
have
no, no. Listen, it's not
to
as a. No, if you let me finish. It's
do
not as acidic a point as you think it is, because like I explained to Tracy as well, I have got in bed with probably more dogs than she has when I was doing the convention. When I rib you about previous speakers the NCH has rolled out, we're talking less than a handful of whereas I've indulged lots of cretins over a 3-year period until Adam came in and gave it some credibility. But I'm not saying it as a put down, but what I'm saying is for people listening that you are aware and you're happy to talk about it as we have discussed, and that all you can do, like all we can do, is keep trying to evolve and be better, right? And I think the NCH has definitely done that.
And perhaps it's also when you look at, like, we've had one or two dodgy speakers, one or two dodgy speakers, that perhaps it's worth looking at that we've also had 50, 60, 70 amazing speakers, including Richard Wiseman and all of these, like, amazing people.
Yes, no, some of my friends, I think,
No.
have presented there. They haven't all been shoddy.
This is our fourth attempt at the podcast, and
Right,
that's
listen.
times we've brought up one speaker of dodginess
Well,
or
I'm more of a spring into mine.
out of
No, but
how.
listen, I've had to do the same. And it is that it's working that balance of trying to stay current, trying to get more people in to get your message across. Right? That you could have the same speakers every year. You do take a chance with some people. I'm only teasing you with that, because what you haven't done is have them back. And rightfully, and that's the same thing. When I couldn't, when I was kind of tied to a low caliber speaker, I go, it's just, I wanted a legacy where it was a high caliber thing. So I passed it off into better hands than I, right? But ultimately, the message is you're doing it for the same reasons, which is to improve the profession.
Always, like, how we can invest and improve into that bigger picture is really important. I mean, so this year, as you know, we're supporting Adam with the UK Therapy Convention, which I believe you were the founder of.
I don't like to speak about
Because he's doing a great job on
He's doing an
this
amazing job. Yeah,
science. What can I
bastard.
say? And so, we're a professional association. We're not a conference organizer. So for us, this is a good route to explore where how can we support somebody who's doing amazing things within the industry? And you and I both know Adam to be ethical and
100%, yeah.
robust. And so why wouldn't we support that as the NCH? Because it brings hypnotherapists together in a really fun and exciting way.
Yeah, do you know what? I think it's, in terms of a mutual collaboration, I think it's fantastic for both parties. I think it's good and a shrewd move from the NCH, because even if Adam, and he has been doing it now for a few years, is selling out every year. The UKHC has much more reach than the 400 people that attend. There's some big names there, and you've got the groups and that, and so you've it's another it's more coverage for the NCH, but it's also coverage of a high caliber of therapists as well that generally attends these events. And it, sorry, go on.
Yeah. Can I just pull you up on the word shrewd? I mean, that's incidental for us. What's important for us is that we're being involved in a community and being part of something that brings hypnotherapists together.
Right, let's just change the word shrewd to
Yeah. Yeah.
insightful or well thought out or
Yeah.
whatever you want. Shrewd doesn't have to be have a bad connotations.
It doesn't, but that wasn't the intention.
It wasn't. No. I'm not saying it was. I'm saying it's a smart move.
Well, hopefully it will be. Hopefully.
Yeah, and you know what? And you know, you and I are friends. I find the NCH very. Obviously, you're the face of it, so I'm putting a lot of this on your
One of
shoulders.
the
But
faces,
very approachable, very outspoken in trying to improve standards. So, you
yeah.
know, and that's why I think I won't use the word shrewd, heaven above. You
You.
know,
What do you use?
it's a mutually beneficial collaboration.
Thank
Now, one of the things that you and I spoke about a lot is poor efforts. And I know when I talk to people about coming onto the podcast, I ask them what their gripes are. You know,
Yeah.
this podcast is designed to be an honest conversation. And one of your gripes was poor ethics around confidentiality.
Yeah, big gripe.
Right. So let's just have an example, right? What's the difference between if someone comes to you who's a member of the NCH and someone who isn't a member of the NCH, how would you deal with it differently if there was an issue of confidentiality being breached?
We can work with a member of the NCH. We can't work with somebody outside of the membership.
Right,
We can
so
be disappointed, but we can't.
be
Essentially,
disappointed. Do you know what? I'm disappointed.
just disappointed. What
Now go
else?
and have a long, hard think about what you just did.
Yeah.
So a member of the NCH, so what would be the first recourse for someone who has breached a client's confidentiality? Do they get a warning? Do they get struck off? Do they?
We have the conversation to determine, okay, what are the scenarios that there is a breach of confidentiality? So whether it's accidental, whether it's lack of knowledge, one would hope with the training and meeting the code that people know better, and most people do. Most of our complaints are non-NCH members. So we know that within the NCH, people kind of know what they're doing when they're breaching, or they don't breach because they know what they're doing.
And have you had instances where you've rescinded someone's membership?
Over, I wouldn't be able to say. So it's more a case of education,
Right, okay.
understanding what's, knowing where we all make mistakes, and it's about how we make the mistake. It's about how do we not make that mistake again. And you want to do damage limitations so mistakes aren't made for the sake of the client, but ultimately we're human. So what do we put in?
Yeah.
Whether we use a cosh or support learning.
Yeah, no, I'm just I know obviously, and again, this is something you and I have spoke about offline before, there's limited what you can do if it's outside the NCH. But ethical members of the NCH would want to expect that the standards kept in within the NCH. So if someone is breaching confidentiality, is it a possibility that they could have their membership rescinded?
It depends if they're doing it with intent.
Yeah,
If,
okay.
so if, for example, they didn't know, they would be re-educated. If they were doing it because they didn't give a shit, then they're not
Right.
upholding the values. Or, fuck you, I'm off. So there would be a cause of action because there's no point in having a membership where you dilute the ethics and the principles, is there?
Cool, yeah, and I think that's what people want to hear as well, right? Otherwise, you know, that is what will differentiate you with from other associations, that if maintain those standards at all costs. You know, that's good to hear because, you know, I think that's no, do you know what? I think it's so easy to level all these associations, organizations come up with a good intention behind them. And then one of the conversations I was having with Andrew on a previous conversation was, then the money comes rolling in and things change. Your view changes, and you know, your standards change, and you look at different things and that. So I think one of the when all these organizations and associations are accused of just being, and I'm not saying this is you, and in fact I'll openly say on this podcast there are other worse organizations that you actually could level this at fairly comfortably. People want to hear that they're getting something for their money, and ejecting shit from those organizations is part and parcel of the process, I think.
But it's the systemic stuff, isn't it? You know, we have people who join the NCH put value to ethics, and
yeah, I agree.
It's important to us, it's important to me, it's important to our members. That's why some people might join because they don't know any better, you know, because you don't know what you don't know right at the start. But ultimately, most people within the NCH have that value system that if people are outside of the NCH, they might not have that. And we can't speak for other professional associations, but same, same. Like, there are some dodgy therapists out there who think that they're like, why not? Let's do whatever I want to do and have no personal culpability, but believe that I'm the best at what I'm doing with no reflective practice. And then you're gonna get professional associations that do something similar, which is partly why we have the board that we do, and we have the variations of people on the board that we have, because it isn't a one horse jockey. Is that how you say that term?
No, but I know what you mean.
There's 15 of us on that horse.
A one horse jockey?
I don't know.
I've got to say, that's one big horse.
It's a very big horse.
Yeah. On that bobsled. No, yeah, do you know what? As well, I think the point is, it's all about perception, right? In an unregulated environment, it's being seen to try and be doing the right thing. So I think schools, no, but again, I think schools will go for an NCH accreditation rather than an easier route of accreditation.
Yeah.
Are doing it because they want to be seen to do the right thing.
Yeah.
There are other organisations with less hoops to jump through.
And the difficulty is life, you know, circumstances, finances. It's getting harder and harder for schools to provide the training that they need to provide to meet the criteria, when there's other schools, you know, the Lidls, that are like, hey, get something cheap. That's
yeah, the Gerald Ratners of the world. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's hard because it's cheapest chips for people to be a therapist. You can just hang a sign, create a website, go on Insta, make sure your moustache is fine and your makeup.
I do find that there's a lovely contradiction that some of the people that are most vocal about not joining things for a piece of paper generally give their own piece of paper.
Yeah.
They then sign up for, well, you don't want to be accredited by the NCH, but what we're doing offers CPD accreditation, because any fucker can get that.
Yeah.
There is no standards that you just got to say you've got this training and box, box, tick, tick, and this, that, and the other.
Or you say, you don't need formal supervision, but I will mentor you. I'll teach you my knowledge
I've taught you everything I know, and next week I'll offer you some mentoring at £99 an hour. Because, oh, by the way, there was other stuff. The other stuff I taught you, that's pretty shit. So I'm going to send you a protocol as well to bolt onto that.
At any point does somebody go, this is social media sales?
Well, I do. The group had a thread yesterday, and it was talking about regression. And I made the point, and no one's come back on it yet. The reason regression still exists, even though science has refuted it, even though there's so many ethical questions of age regression, and I'm talking specifically not regression going back to a visual state or this, that, and the other. I'm talking about there's absolutely a reason why you're fucked up, and we're going to find it, even if you don't know what it is. And that kind of go back, be there, experience the trauma. If you can't experience the trauma, make some up in your head and experience it. Blame someone.
I don't know if
get your dad thrown in jail
or mislead them. Anyway.
So the point I made is that regression sells. And while it sells, there's going to be people that are advocating for it. You know, and I remember training as a hypnotist like 12, 13 years ago, 12 years ago. And the most exciting bits was watching the Gil Boyne videos or the, you know, the Jerry Kine videos and this, that, and the other, and watching this like magic unfold and your eyes like, where did that come from? Oh, wow. You know, that's impressive. And that's the bit you want to do. But then you bump into the likes of the Adams and the Garys and the people like that in the world that then say, well, you know what? There's actually no evidence base behind it. Then you actually start doing it enough when you realize, oh, fuck, that bloke could have been having a heart attack. And I think I'm taking him back to, he's just reacting. He's just abreacting. He's just doing whatever. You don't think of the implications of the people around him, but it sells, right? And because it sells, it's always going to be there. Because it's romantic, it's funky, it's cool, and that's what sells. It gives a lot of power to the hypnotist, even though that person shouldn't be around other people. It gives a lot of power to the hypnotist. And that's the problem that I think the NCH is contending with. You've got these schools that need to do 450 hours, need to demonstrate they're doing 450 hours.
More.
But you've got some prick over there bonking people on the head and coming up with a story, even though the story.
But that has always been the way. I mean, that.
So how do you combat it as an association?
We stay solid and we drive forward, and there's an element of trusting that our school, so you know, we've got around 30 schools, and it's trusting that those schools are educating students to say, this is who the NCH are, like, should you wish to join them, great, this is the hallmark of a good therapist, we're there, we're a platform, we're open. And other than that, otherwise we become the sales machine, and that's the bind. So why, you know, in a world of people shouting buy, 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 we're just another voice. And actually, if we are investing our time selling ourselves to people out there, we're not providing support for our members. And actually, what we know is the people out there full of mentors and unqualified trainers, like all of those people are going to be shouting louder. There's not a lot we can do but stay firm and essentially look after our members, those who choose us.
I went on a little rant then about the regression schools. It's a hobby of mine.
Yeah.
But I was just demonstrating how hard it is to stay in your lane means to stay quiet. You know, someone like it.
No, you see, it's one of those, sorry, I'm going to just talk over you again because I feel
quite, you're a woman.
You know, it's that devil makes work for idle hands, isn't it? A good salesman is a good salesman. Like, and that means that they're good at sales. It doesn't mean that they're good at anything else. They're good at selling a product. So they're always, in whatever discipline we are, they're always going to be good salespeople. I'd like to think we're good hypnotherapists, we're good therapists, therefore we're not good salespeople. We're just getting on with the work. And that's what you want in a good therapist. You don't want them plastered all over social media going, I'm going to tell you 2 out of 3 things. Those first 2 things are going to be no help. But if you sign up to my mailing list, I'm going to give you the answer in the third. Like, what sort of practice is that as a therapist, when you know people in pain are out there, people in pain are listening, and they're wanting help, they're wanting support, and you're selling them because you want their bloody email address? Oh my God, I thought I'd see your rant and raise you one.
No, you
Like,
did.
you can't do anything about other than be solid, other than say, like, we know we're doing the work over here. It's the same. I could be on social media talking, all of that stuff, ideally without the video, but I'm working. I'm
And the
working
point,
with
and the
a
point is, and the
client.
irony is that the people who are the biggest detractors of the likes of the NCH would jump on you if you were trying to sell the NCH.
Yeah. What? Because you stupid people do stupid things, don't they? That I mean
Yeah.
that ultimately, if somebody's got a belief system that they choose to invest in, and why sell to something when, you know, ethics are a curious thing. They're very personal. If you don't have ethics, how do we sell ethics to somebody who doesn't have ethics?
Well,
And
they'll just close their ears to it anyway. I mean, they're being trained by people where ethics, really, they don't give a shit about these trainers. Like you said, they're salespeople. They're not therapists, and they're actually, I've sat in with a few of them. They're absolutely shit trainers as well.
But that
But
isn't just hypnotherapy. That's a
I know it's all therapy. It's all coaching. It's
it's all unregulated stuff, all of
yeah,
it. But
and some
equally,
regulated stuff. Yeah.
yeah, and equally, what's our position? We can't change that, but we can make this island safer, you know, in terms of ANCH as opposed to the UK. But like the what can we do? What can we do?
So one of the things we talked about before we hit record, I was sharing discussion I had that hopefully people would have listened to before this one comes out with Andrew. And I said, "Do you regulate it?" And he said, "No, you just make it worse."
Yeah.
Do you agree with that sentiment that?
On a personal level, I can't speak for the board. I can speak on my level. I think regulating hypnotherapy, I don't think there's enough. I don't actually think there's enough science-based research out there to support hypnotherapy. I also don't think that there is enough. There's magic in the hypnotherapy, and regulating that will just create an environment where there will be very few disciplines practiced in the variation of hypnotherapy. You know, what have we got? IBS and maybe some other tenuous
Or
evidence-based.
it'll just be repackaged.
Yeah. And so then ultimately it will start costing the individual practitioner more and more. People complain about paying a £70 membership fee to join the NCH. If we become regulated, people are paying thousands. You look at osteopathy that's been regulated, thousands, and people meeting that criteria, osteopathy becomes harder again. And I think with hypnotherapy, ideally, yes, we would be regulated. In practice, it'd be a nightmare. And again, we look at the CNHC being introduced as a, you know, a regulator of sorts, a register, or the equivalent as a register, and then government changes, and then other registers pick up, as long as they can pay the money and they tick the boxes. Like, all these registers are in competition with the CNHC when there was originally only going to be one CNHC that was the overarching umbrella. Then you end up with this dilution. So
Well,
no.
yeah, I think as well, who do you give the job to regulate it to, is the key thing. And when you do give it, who then watches the watchman? Because
Yeah.
they're going to abuse it. They'll turn it in, the expression commoditization, it just sticks with me. I didn't bring it up all the time, but even the regulators will commoditize it. And you and I have had a previous conversation about the BACP. They'll just create hoops that become money spinning hoops that you then have to tick to do stuff.
Yeah, but let's also know that the BACP is a register and not regulated. So you could put a label on that says,
Yeah.
I'm counselor tomorrow, just the same as you can with saying you're a hypnotherapist. Like, the title's not protected, we're not regulated. So the BACP is behaving like a regulator and is a register, the same as the CNHC. It's just bigger, and it's surprised. And perhaps that's because when you do counselling training, you go through adult education in less private teaching practices, and so there is a bit more that one's expectation of counsellors is that they are regulated. You know, it's all about that perception. So ultimately, you know, the BACP, I think, also do some great stuff. And I think, you know, we're dealing all the time with mental health issues. It's so sensitive.
Right. So that brings us back again, the sensitivity of issues, right? As I've already touched on, one of your gripes is a breach of confidentiality. I think hypnotherapy probably is on its own in terms of instances where we see this on a day in, day out basis. And again, you touched on social media, not in a favorable way, but what sort of things are you seeing on social media that just shock you or horrify you?
I think it's the oh, you know what? I just need a bit of help. I'm new to practice. I've got a client who, because they haven't used their name, it doesn't matter. I've got a client who suffers erectile dysfunction, something really personal. You know, I think it's because his wife left him when, and you know, and he's got a porn addiction, and yeah, you know, and all of this. And I'm using something provocative as opposed to reflective.
I'm
No.
looking for the hidden cameras.
Yeah, but it's that people are doing it, and we don't know whether they're doing it from because they haven't been taught that A, you don't do that. Like, oh, it's okay, we haven't used the name. No, but you can. It's still exploring somebody's pain on a social media site, in a social media group that they might join or their friends might join and go, "Oi, Bill, this sounds a bit like you. Look at this." And Bill reads it and sees, "Oh my God, that's my therapist. Not only has she talked about all of my ailments, but equally, she doesn't know what she's doing." Like getting supervision, like work on it. If you don't know what you're doing, sorry, this is a two-pronged attack, which
No,
is,
no, 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 no.
but if you don't know what you're doing, get a supervisor, have that discussion in a one-to-one secure environment, not on a Facebook group that might have thousands of people who go, right, well, this is what I would do with the man that we won't mention. Have you ever thought about doing this? Like, and if you don't know that from your training and you
Oh,
can't
100%.
your trainers, or you haven't thought to have a supervisor in place to support you at the start of practice.
Well, your trainer always should be something you can go back to. If you're taking people's money and training them, and there's unanswered questions, and some of these are pretty fucking common unanswered questions, and you're sending them out unequipped to do it, then the fault lies with you, and you should be that accessible super. And I know some trainers do. There is a lot of trainers out there that will always be open, that are always approachable, and the door and their ears are always open to former students. But don't you think as well, Tracy, that some of them just advertise hypnosis as the shittiest, lowest caliber profession, that they're even that it's frightening that they're even publicly asking these questions. Forget the confidentiality point of view, but the fact that members of the public, so Hypnosis Discussion Network group, right, from where this podcast evolved, right, anyone can join. They just have to agree to certain rules. Can't spam, can't self-promote, and you have to be courteous to a point. He says in brackets, being one of the least tolerant people in the world. But there's members of the public. So when you see someone who's just qualified in November or December saying, I'm doing my first PTSD client and this, and this, how shit does it make the profession and the standards within the profession?
Well, but it's also, how much have you learned? How have you been trained to work within your remit? What
Mm.
we're talking about people who are dealing with vulnerable, as a therapist, you're dealing with vulnerable people. You have adequate training, and I'm not suggesting, that's why we could have continuous practitioner development, CPDs, and we keep our practice update and we have supervision, all of those things, because we are working. We're not doing a
Yeah.
hobby. We're not having working costs. And our to deal with vulnerable people, you put things in place to keep you and them safe. And that's the price that you pay for the job that you've chosen or the career that you've chosen. And if you're not taking your work or your career seriously, then maybe there needs to be another rethink.
Yeah.
I'm
And
being a
again, it
little
goes back.
harsh, but ultimately.
No, you're not being harsh. You need to be harsh. If you're in an association that ethics and standards are at the core of your values, you have to be. This is what I was talking about, like consequences before. You do have to be harsh, and people want to see you as being seen to be harsh, because what that means is that you are unwavering in the standards and the quality, and you're not just taking people's membership money. So be harsh. I think being harsh is the way forward.
But it's a reflection, isn't it? If you're getting your advice off social media, then do you not need to, if you're giving your advice on social media and that isn't a training platform, it's a social platform, then perhaps when you're asking for your advice on your clients, you can join the dots and say, this is social. This is
Yeah.
groups to hang out in and have a social time. This is not a training media. And this is where I think if we need to look at ourselves, if we're A, doing our learning off social media, B, getting our advice off social media, and C, buying a product off social media, we maybe need to do a bit of a self-review there.
But then we're all culturally guilty of doing it in
Oh,
some
don't
way or
get me
another.
wrong. I ordered this hinted printer receipt thing that didn't come through. What an idiot. I'm thinking,
Ah,
oh,
the old printer receipt thing, that was obvious. So
fuck.
here's an example that popped up yesterday, right? So this is the example of a post, okay?
This an exam? Are you testing me?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Putting together a course and I need to create some video demos. Interested in a therapy session? Question mark. Okay with it being videoed for my course, comment below or message. Right. Now,
Where was
just
that posted?
this was in the Hypnosis Discussion Network
That
group,
right.
right? Okay, so for me, forget the spamming and the self-promotional potential issues that it has with the person looking at. Forget the fact that I'd literally put a post out either the same day or the day before about approaching other members of the group for stuff, right? But, let's just put that down to the average intelligence, right? But for me, so I asked, I think I asked the question of why don't you ask your actual therapy clients to sign off media disclaimers, right? So I believe that's potentially viable. If someone wants their confidentiality to be breached and gives permission for it and has a and signs release forms, right?
Consent.
That's that then that's fine. Right? I actually have more
As
of a
long as it's
problem.
consent throughout the journey, as long as
Yeah.
it's consent after every session.
Exactly. And the control's in the client's hands.
Totally. But if you're getting
What?
consent at the beginning of a session, they don't know what's going to open up. They don't know what's going to happen. So getting that consent is like saying, oh, can you write me a testimonial for stopping smoking before you've stopped smoking, you know.
Yeah. So the problem I had with that is, one, if they message below, right, they're already saying this guy's going to do some work with me. But forget the fact that they're canvassing for people within the group. My worry is that this is an indictment of the standard of training, that this person doesn't have enough real world clients to create a training, but he wants to create a training. So he needs dummies. And working with dummies that haven't come to him is enough. Right. See that sort of stuff. Would this, if that was an NCH member, would you say, I don't think you should do that? Or is it only if someone would complain about that?
It's unlikely that it would be an NCH member. You see, that's the whole point.
Well, that's a fair enough answer. Yeah.
But
I'll
I don't.
accept your first answer. Yeah.
But equally, what your experience is probably 10% of what the NCH experience, like 5%, 1%. Like, we have all of that stuff going on all of the time that aren't NCH members. And people flag it up to us. And what can we do other than say that we can point you in the right direction to where you need to go, but we can't do anything about that. We can
Yeah,
only.
there's no right or wrong answer to this, so I'm not saying it to scrutinize it, but is saying it's not our problem the right answer? It's the only answer.
Well, the thing is, if we make it our problem, then it becomes our problem. And then you've got to look back into that person that posted. Now, number one, is it ethically okay for him to do that? Well, that's a question. Then you've got to go back to, is he qualified to be able to train? How has he done? What training has he done? Da, 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 da. You know, and so you look at the whole route, and it all of that is in what. If we do that with everyone, that's not our place.
Yeah, no, it's tough. And do you know what, as well? Sometimes I wonder when I'm outspoken about things, one, is it worth it? But you do it for the right reason because you're just frustrated and angry at what you're seeing. And two, does it make a difference anyway?
Well, and then it becomes a, well, it's important. How important is it, and how much can we do? At the end of the day, we've got resources within the NCH. That's our membership fees. How much do we plug into the industry as a whole and improving that and challenging people who aren't NCH? Well, no, because it's our members' money. Like,
And
what do you?
you'd be doing it all the fucking time.
Well, exactly. If we were responding to all of our emails that are about non-members, you would be spending our money on that all of the time. And so how do we, it just means that we become, it's a little bit sad really. While we watch the rest of the industry being dilute, we're like going, oh, we're good, thanks. And that's hard. That's
And
hard.
you,
You want.
especially when you know, and this is a conversation we've had, in doing so and not playing the games and the rules set by other people, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
And so an analogy is Adam's stall, right? He over the years he's tried to stay in lane. He's tried to, not. Yeah, well, he's done it quite easy, resist the temptation to sell himself out. But he's this evidence-based guy. And it is bearing fruition over the years, but it took a long time to get there because he's not playing by the same cheap rules as other people. I think that's why, again, we'll go back, it's a good collaboration because what you're making a statement that you both believe in.
Yeah,
Ethics.
it's a healthy, Adam and I have talked through what our ethical positions are. Like, we've not gone into it blindly, and he's not approached us blindly either. and
Yeah,
say,
no, it is. Yeah. It's just work. It's yeah,
are
it's
you on
work.
this page? I'm on this page, you know.
Very true.
I liked
Upsells. Upsells. Moving on. Upsells. Why don't you like upsells? What do you mean by upsells? You told me upsells are one of the things you didn't like.
Well, I think I've probably explained that right now. You
Yeah.
know, stupid people doing stupid things and stupid people buying stupid things, like my heat printer. That, you know,
Yeah.
it's the sales people being really good at sales and not necessarily good at training, or, you know, oh, I'm just going to leave this here if this will help anyone, and breaching the, like with your guy, he breached your code of this is what you follow to join our group. What he's doing inherently isn't, like, we don't know, because we don't know his quality of training, blah 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 blah. But what we do know is you said this is our code of being in the group, and you've now just breached it because you're doing this pseudo sales by going, because you're thinking that you have that entitlement to put your sales pitch on my group without asking. I presume he didn't ask permission
No.
and disregarded what you'd said. So, how is he ethically sound if
No, I agree.
that's the route? So it's that sort of upsells I find really difficult. He's selling to people, and what I know is, before we go on training, we don't know about ethics in the same way that we will learn it. We don't know about the quality of training. We don't know about NOS hours, potentially, unless we're like one of those unusual ones. I mean, I certainly didn't. I looked on my map and went, oh, where's my nearest hypnotherapy school? I didn't even think about quality and standards. It just so happened that I chose that. And I think then you get those people who have said, okay, it is really hard being a private practitioner, and people go, and being an ethical private practitioner is really hard again.
Yeah.
And how do you do the sales? And there are people that go, you know what, it's really hard doing this. I think I'm going to sell to other practitioners. You know, sod that. I've got something of quality that I'm going to sell to somebody else. All of that stuff. And it's like, in a sea of voices shouting, buy me, and just becoming another, to get the people who don't know what they don't know. And I think it's kind of a bit of an abuse of knowledge, really.
But
I mean, this is my
it's not.
personal rant, not necessarily an
Yeah,
end.
no. Well, I'd like to think it was the professional stance of the NTH as well, to be honest with you.
Well, that's.
I don't think you do yourself a disservice if it was. Now, what are the, now on a slightly upbeat note,
Oh, go on then. Let's try.
it did come across as well. It did come across. It was presented as a gripe, but it's actually not. I consider it a bit of advice. And one of the things we've spoken about before, and also one of the things we bonded on before,
Yeah.
is a humor filled therapy room.
Yeah.
Right. So you actually said one of your gripes when we spoke about before was there being no humor in the therapy room.
Yeah.
So talk to me about the value of having humor in a therapy room.
Oh, I just think it's a good way to flex muscles and build rapport. I think it, with anything, when we look at friendships, when we look at community, how humour can bring us together and make us feel more relaxed and more open. I also think humour is a really good hypnotic tool as well, that's really unexplored, about how we can involve suggestibility while we're laughing, all of those things. Create a different surprise element to going working with the mind. I just love it. I think if we have it in life, we should have it in the therapy room, providing that our client wants it there. I mean, there's no good if we've got like a very serious client and you're making jokes here, there, and everywhere. But I think it's part of the enhanced rapport. And I, well, yeah, you catch more flies with honey.
Yeah, I don't think you force it. I think we've all had clients where we've probably used humor inappropriately, but you don't. But like I say to the kids, you don't. You don't. You get to learn to know your audiences. The
Yeah.
more you do it, and you only learn your audiences by finding out what's not appropriate as much as finding what is appropriate. You know, pushing the boundaries of stuff. I say it to my youngest. She's a clown. She's always got a smart-ass answer, and sometimes it misses the mark a lot. She then blushes and then cringes, and I say to her, "Don't feel bad, too bad.
Yeah,
We,
yeah,
we've
yeah.
all been there, right? You all find how to aim better with humour." But I've had some humdingers.
But it's that, let's not talk about your humdingers, but it's that point, isn't it, where we're always going to make mistakes. We're always going to make mistakes. And it's in the recovery that we say, this is who we are and how we behave when. And our clients see that. Our clients see if we've made a difficult joke or statement or what have you, and it hasn't landed, or we've used the wrong metaphor or whatever. It isn't about whether we've made the mistake. It's about saying, yeah, we're versatile and we're flexible enough to make that good. Like, we're here for you. How do we make that good? And that's the thing, is that being open, then we're teaching in that more subliminal way of how to be confident in the face of making mistakes, because we're showing them. Mirror neurons and what have you, they go, oh yeah, I remember Tracy pulled that clanger and she recovered really well, and if she can recover, I can recover, and it's
Yeah.
okay, the world hasn't crashed and burned.
100%. Yeah, it's not, listen, people will forgive you if they realize there's a good intention
Well, it's
underlying what you're doing.
likability, it's the rapport, all of that.
Authenticity. yeah
yeah yeah
yeah
yeah
but yeah no I think you and I clicked, because we couldn't go very long without a joke or what have you. And I think,
at my expense, can I just add?
Well, you're easy. You, there's a
Easy
lot to work.
target.
There's a lot to work with there. But no, but it's so important when you work with people that you make people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, even if what you're doing is a bit shit, it might still work. If do you know what I mean? If you have that rapport, like you say.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to have to wrap this up soon. So
yeah.
We're just going to loop back, because I just want to let people know that obviously, as mentioned, you are working more closely with the UKHC. You're going to be visible and present there.
We'll be at the
in terms of you'll have a table in the lobby or the
yeah,
main.
probably
But
wherever.
also, but that's not just it though, is it, Tracy?
What else is it?
You're contributing to the UKHC in another way, a more profound way.
What profound other way would that be?
Well, let's put it this way. You said to me that if you'd have done it last year, Derren Brown would have been your warm-up. So what people don't realise is you're closing the UKHC for Adam.
Closing keynote. So I'll be the one that's saying where to stack the chairs at the end of the weekend.
You have your ovals on.
Giving
and
directions to the exit, and please form an orderly queue as you leave.
And that is cheeky. Are you going to let us know what the topic is?
I think I'd quite like to talk about collective effervescence.
I don't even know what that second word means.
It's quite a wanky title for working together.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, when you're in a group of like-minded people and you feel that harmony, your ego lessens and you become part of a collective, and how being in that united group is really important. And I think
that's brilliant. And do you know what? Totally sums up the
yeah,
ethos
exactly.
and the energy at the convention, right? So, oh yeah. Well, do you know what? I might stick around.
Don't rush, but if you can back in the chairs.
you have got some big boots to fill, because Frederick's one was great last year. I'm not trying to deliberately put pressure on you.
No.
There's a fantastic speaker going before you.
Yeah.
Frederick was brilliant last year, like really, really good.
Really good, really engaging. And everyone,
I remember saying to Frederick, you're not going to top that.
No, exactly. So I thought I'd do mine in mime and interpretive dance.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah.
And that's why you give me so much material to work with. Right, so we're going to share your links. We're going to share
Yeah.
links to the NCH, obviously, but we're also going to share links to your private therapy, if that's all right with you. Would you
Yeah.
like that?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Every helps.
Every little helps. Every little helps indeed. And Tracy is experienced. She walks the walk. She talks the talk. She runs a busy practice. So definitely check her out. I'm sure we will be speaking in the next week or two. We definitely will be sharing sarcastic WhatsApps within hours. So I just want to say, Tracy, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks. This is
Likewise.
the final cut. This is the
Thanks
one that's going out. I promise. We've kept within the time parameters, which is good for us.
it. What's
So
your name? How do we pronounce it? Nick Ebdo?
just call no, don't just call me sir. That's fine. Mr. Ebden, whatever.
Ebden. Ebden, is
Yeah.
that it?
So for me, Nick Ebden, from Tracky Grist, a big thank you, and join us again next time at the Hypnosis Discussion Network podcast. Thanks again, Tracy.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the Hypnosis Discussion Network podcast. Links and additional information for all of our guests can be found on the website www.hypnosisdiscussionnetwork.com. All views and opinions expressed by our guests are their own. Until next time.